Back in 1984, Michigan native Gordon Young embarked on the ultimate change of urban scenery. He left Flint, the city where he'd spent his first 18 years, and eventually ended up in San Francisco. Then, what began as nostalgia slowly mushroomed to a desire to go back. And in 2009, Young returned to live in a city staggering from unemployment, crime, and dysfunction, completely unlike the one he remembered. Gordon Young shares the intriguing, sobering, and humorous account of his return to Flint in his new book, Tear Down, Memoir of a Vanishing City. He'll speak about the book tonight at Schuller Books in Okemos. To start the book, the author writes of a tense encounter on his first morning back. After sleeping with a baseball bat for security, he later declines to give money to a young man who approaches him on the street. The young man gets angry and lets fly a string of profanity. I asked if, at that moment, he felt he was making a mistake.
Well, I had sort of thought I might be making a mistake at a lot of different points, but at the end of that day, it was a very emotional day for me, not just the incidents you described, but also after being gone for so many years, to drive through my old hometown and see the state that it was in. I'd read about things going on in Flint, but it doesn't compare with actually seeing it for the first time. It was daunting and it was emotional for me, but I stuck with it.
You write that laying down roots and later spending 16 years living in California made you yearn for your hometown of Flint. What made you yearn for it?
Well, it was strange. It really got started when my girlfriend and I managed to buy a house together in San Francisco, even though we really couldn't afford it. But at that time, they were giving loans out to people who couldn't afford the house, the same sort of loans that almost brought the world to the brink of economic collapse. And being a first-time homeowner in San Francisco, it was strange. I started having all these unexpected warm feelings and nostalgic feelings and memories of growing up in Flint, and I started to realize how much Flint made me who I am, and I really wanted to reconnect with the city. So in a strange way, it was buying a house in San Francisco that made me start this journey toward buying a house in Flint.
What was your plan?
Oh, if only I had a plan, Mark. That's a good point. I probably should have had one when I got started. I had a hazy notion that I would somehow take $3,000 and buy a house, and there were a lot of different versions of this. Maybe my girlfriend Tracy and I would relocate to Flint if we could find work there. We might rehab a house and donate it to a needy family. We might have sort of an improbable vacation home in Flint, because I know outsiders think this is crazy, but I love being in the city. It's home to me, and I really enjoy spending time there. So it was a little hazy and unplanned, and that might have led to some of the problems I encountered in the book.
Your blog, FlintExpats.com, links this diaspora of Flintoids from all over the country, and there seems to be this sense of ownership. What's it been like to connect with so many others like yourself who left?
Well, in a way, it was really encouraging because, you know, you could take this as a negative thing. Flint's lost half its population over the last few decades. And yet, all these people that have scattered all over the United States and the world, really, have not given up on Flint. And a lot of them, like me, are searching for some kind of way to connect with the city and help the city in some way. And even if you're not living in the city, I think if there's a way to kind of harness this goodwill and these good memories and this devotion that people have to their hometown of Flint, we could in some way help the city out.
Where do you think that strong connection comes from?
I've been asked that a lot, and it's tough to describe. At first, I just thought everyone had this devotion to their hometown, but I don't see that in a lot of people I talk to. I think part of it is that Flint was a very prosperous city. It's easy to forget that it had the highest per capita income level in the United States at one point. And I think when people have prosperity and good memories of a place, and then they see it fall on really hard times, it makes them more attached to it and makes them want to stay connected in some way.
An idea that I found really fascinating in your book is that a person's hometown is their center of authenticity. I really liked that phrase. Could you expand on that?
Well, I came to realize that when I hit middle age, and maybe this is what happens to you, but to be honest, there was a time when I was sort of ashamed from being from Flint. I hate to even say that now. There were times in college when I was in Washington, D.C. going to school, and I would lie and say I was from Ann Arbor because I thought that was just cooler, and it seemed like everyone looked down on Flint, even people from Detroit. So I sort of tried to deny my roots for a while, but when I thought back on it, the friends I made and the education I had there and the work ethic that was present in Flint, it really did make me who I am. It just took me a while to really realize that.
Was there a place that you made your way back to that really was the most poignant part of going back to Flint?
Probably my neighborhood of Civic Park off Dayton Avenue where I grew up. It was a neighborhood that was built for GM workers, and it's fallen on really hard times now. There's a lot of blight, a lot of abandonment. I was just there the other day at 9 in the morning, and I could hear gunshots going off as I drove around. But I was able to connect with people who are still living in the neighborhood, and even though they're surrounded by blight, there are a lot of good people working really hard in that neighborhood to save the neighborhood and to save Flint. And I was lucky enough to get to know them and become friends with them during this process. So I really was able to reconnect and make new friends in my old hometown. And that meant a lot to me.
We're talking with Gordon Young, author of Teardown, Memoir of a Dying City, about his return to Flint after many years in California. Your book combines personal narratives with interviews and with history. I want to focus on the historical component for just a minute. You write that as you did historical research for this book, you realized that you didn't know the history of where you grew up. What was it like to discover more of that history?
Well, one thing it made me realize, I probably wasn't paying attention in school when I was growing up, but I think I already kind of knew that one. It was just fascinating to see that Flint had been this sort of boom town through several different eras. It was a thriving place during the fur trade, and then the lumber industry, and then the carriage industry, and then the auto industry. I thought it was just, as I said in there, if I summed it up, it was Flint, a lot of cars, and even more bars. That was kind of the Flint that I knew. So it was interesting to see this other history that I didn't know, and to realize that Flint had been able to transition from one thing to another economically with great success until now. And this is when sort of their run ended, and that gave me some perspective on what's happening in the city now.
The people you meet in this book run the gamut, from politicians like Dan Kildee and Mayor Dane Walling to urban restorers to people who never left and never will. All of these people have a very different sense of Flint. What was it like to sort through all of these different perceptions?
Well, one thing I realized, and I know this as a journalist, but it really hit home in Flint, is that if you're going to tell the story of a complicated place like Flint, you're going to have to spend a lot of time there. And I spent pretty much 4 years interviewing and talking to people and getting to know them. And in that process, I discovered what you just described. There are a lot of different viewpoints in Flint. There are a lot of people going at things in very different ways. And that was encouraging because the one thing that united them is that they love the city. They may have different ideas about how to make it a better place or public policy or how to turn things around. But I didn't find very many people saying, I hate this place, can't wait to get out of here. I found a lot of very smart, dedicated people who haven't given up on it yet, despite extremely challenging circumstances with crime and arson and blight. They haven't given up yet.
When you returned in 2009, did you feel at all like an outsider?
I definitely did. I had 4 generations of my family lived in Flint, so I had deep roots in the city, and I lived there from the age of 2 to about 22. So I did have some connection, and I had some friends left. But, you know, I've been gone for a long time, and I recognized that, and I tried to approach the city knowing that I wasn't necessarily an insider, and I couldn't assume to know how people are feeling in Flint just because I had lived there 30 years ago.
Mm. The media spends a lot of time defining Flint, labeling Flint, murder, city, debt. city. How would you define it?
Well, one thing I think is important to do is you got to be able to compartmentalize when you think about a city like Flint, because I don't think it does any good to sugarcoat what's happening there. I think there's some people that might think that Flint has a perception problem, and I don't really agree with that. I think it has a reality problem. Its problems are real. You don't lose 80,000 GM jobs in a city of 200,000 and not have some real problems. So I don't shy away from those things in the book. This is not a book that looks at the city through rose-colored glasses at all. It describes the problems in detail. At the same time, there are good things happening while these other bad things are happening, and that's where the compartmentalization comes in. The downtown is looking more vibrant than I've seen it in a long time, and they are focusing on higher education. There are bars and restaurants opening downtown, and so there are some good things happening in the city. The problem is some things are getting better while other things are getting worse out in the neighborhoods. And that's one of the frustrating dichotomies of a shrinking city. It just goes with the territory. You see the same thing in Detroit.
What impact did Michael Moore's movie Roger and Me have on you?
When I was younger, Roger and Me inspired me and made me realize that you can write about the things you know. As a young writer, I think I had this notion that the real stories were out there somewhere else, and I had to go somewhere far away to find them. And that movie really showed me that what was happening in my own hometown mattered. And I know it's a controversial film, and some people criticize it, but I think he did a great job showing what happens when corporations decide to pick up and leave a city. He showed the rest of the country and even the world that this is happening in a once great American city. And to me, it was shocking to see it for the first time. And I'm still angry by what happened to Flint. It's sometimes hard for me to believe that in America we let this happen to a city that is such a part of our national fabric.
In part, your desire to buy a house stemmed from this sense that you owed something to Flint. Do you feel like you've paid that debt?
I feel like I've gotten a start on paying that back, but I want to continue to be part of the city. I feel like if all of the folks who moved away like me, and I'm not blaming anyone, I did it, my family did it, we had to go somewhere else for work, and if all of us kind of became a part of the city again, even in a small way, as the book details, I'm not exactly rolling in money. There's a lot of humor in the book, and most of it's humor at my own expense, and even I've been able to kind of give back to the city in some way, and I want to keep doing that.
What do you make of people moving to Detroit or back to Detroit in the midst of all its challenges? I'm thinking this Flint chapter of your life and your return. It's interesting to compare that with what's going on in Detroit, because a lot of people a lot of young people in particular find the rents appealing, that they want to be a part of something positive, a part of the city's rebirth. How do you look at that?
I think that's a positive development. I'm not gonna complain about anybody moving back to Detroit or a place like Flint, because both places need all the help they can get, and those people are welcome, and I think it's a positive thing. At the same time, we lost thousands and thousands of good-paying union auto industry jobs, and the so-called creative class coming back is great, but we're going to need to do a lot more than that to bring these cities back. But it's a nice start. I don't discourage them. I think it's great.
What's happened to your expectations of Flint over time, and what do you expect the future of the city to be like?
Well, I think one thing that I came to terms with, and I think a lot of leaders in Flint have come to terms with, is that there's no quick fix for what's happened to the city. It took a while to get to this point. There are huge issues, geopolitical issues, trade issues, corporations, decision-making, that Flint doesn't really control, and that's one of the frustrating things, is that you don't really control your own destiny in cities like this. The local leaders can't really do a lot to turn the cities around. So I've really lowered my expectation about what's progress in a city like Flint. I'm much more grateful for small incremental changes because I know that eventually we can put all those together and it'll lead to some real change. But my notion that I was going to somehow come back and be like this prodigal son and buy a house and help the city, I've really become more realistic about what one person can do and how quickly the changes will happen.
Gordon Brown tells the eventful story of his return to Flint from California in his book, Tear Down, Memoir of a Vanishing City. Hear Gordon Brown speak tonight at Schuler Books in Okemos.